this year, this pomegranate tree by the Shrine of Our Lady has a fairly good crop on it. There may well be at least 100 fruit pomegranates on that tree. And on each pomegranate then, there are a great number of seeds inside. What is going to happen to all of these seeds in this pomegranate tree? Will human beings eat them? Or the birds eat them? Or the June bugs eat them? Or the ants eat part of them? Will they just fall into the ground and decay back into the earth? God knows all of these answers, but we know none of them. It is this God, though, who created me and brought me into existence, and who knows how many birds have landed in this tree already, how many days it's been existing here on this property, how many other pomegranate trees have existed that it came from, so to speak, and how many more days it's going to be here before it is gone. Or take the fig tree next to the pomegranate tree, and how many hundreds of pounds of figs did we harvest from this tree this year alone? Several hundred pounds at least. And in every fig tree, again, there are many little seeds in every fig. The birds have eaten many of them besides the hundreds of pounds that I have harvested. And the June bugs have had their fair share, I would say. And the ants have eaten some. God provided for all of these needs. God knows all of these answers. Do you not see how much we belong to Him? Why we should trust God entirely, who takes care of everything? The humans and the birds get their feed, the ants, the June bugs, and everything else is taken care of by our loving Father, who exists in our soul if we are in the state of sanctifying grace. I mentioned on slide A of this tape that all of God's creation should be like a huge finger pointing up to heaven, reminding us of our Creator. So let us reflect a moment upon a pecan tree. A certain man in this valley who has been growing pecans and harvesting them for 60 years, I guess, at least, told me one day that probably government people who have nothing much else to do took time to do the research to find out that for every pecan in that tree, there are approximately 19 leaves. Yes, 19 leaves for each pecan. So I will just round that up to 20 leaves. A well-matured pecan tree can easily produce up to 200 pounds of pecans in a good year. And it varies, of course, but let's say approximately 60 pecans per pound. That's how many it takes to weigh into a pound and some varieties on the average. So here you have 60 pecans times 200 to give you 1,200 pecans growing on that tree in 1 year's time. And you take that 1,200 times 20 because there's 20 leaves per pecan, and you have 140,000 leaves on that pecan tree. You may want to say to me, so what, Patrick? Makes me no difference how many leaves grow on that pecan tree. What does that have to do with anything? Well, you can use that as a reflection to increase in grace, help you live in the presence of God, to say many prayers for the holy souls, and to obtain a higher degree of glory in heaven yourself. For example, I say there are 140,000 leaves in that pecan tree. How many souls do you think are in purgatory this very time that I am making this recording? It could very well be there are at least 140,000 souls in purgatory today, especially since there are very few true masses offered up anymore in the world to help relieve them of their sufferings, and not that many people pray the rosary for the holy souls. And the Novus Ordo religion does not even seemingly believe in purgatory anymore. So now we've gone from the pecan tree leaves to purgatory. Yes, 140,000 souls there, suffering intense sufferings, calling upon us to help them. If you live around Phoenix, Arizona, do you not know that there can be some warm days during the summertime? Let us assume then that you take 140,000 people and you, so to speak, jam-pack them into some building, as they would say, packed in like sardines. It would be quite a large building to begin with to hold 140,000. But let us say that that is about as big as the building was. People are really packed in there, real close together. And then all the doors are locked shut, all the windows are closed tight, and the sun is shining through those windows, making it very warm. And then the heaters are turned on, as well as the body heat of 140,000 people in a small, low-ceiling building. How warm would it soon be in that building? Would not people begin quickly to complain, "Whew, it sure is hot in here"? Is your grandmother, some friend, 140,000 and their Christ in purgatory, telling you, "Whew, it sure is hot in here. Help me. Pray for me. Relieve my sufferings"? Yes, there are well more than 140,000 in all probability. What are you doing for the holy souls today? What have you done for them yesterday? What have you done during your lifetime? And what will you do in the future? If you read a little book or hear the tape, "Read Me a Root and How to Avoid Purgatory," surely it would inspire you to pray more for the holy souls in purgatory, or to have another reflection. How warm will it be in your car if you happen to get locked up in a car that's run all electric, electric windows, electric brake, and so on, and somehow you get stalled and your motor will not start and your electric will not work, the battery ran dead or whatever? Doesn't it get very hot in a car with all the windows up in the summertime? "It sure is hot in here" is exactly what the holy souls are saying to you. Help them. Or as another reflection, consider the wickedness that goes on, so to speak, in the nightlife of the world. Think of the 140,000 and more nightclubs throughout the world. In some place, it's always nighttime and always daytime. How many times 140,000 mortal sins are committed every hour of every day on this earth? Considering the sins of lust, the sins of swearing, sins against God and blasphemy, and sins of anger, drunkenness, theft, lying, cheating, covetousness, all the sins of all the commandments. How many, I say, 140,000 times 140 million are committed in your lifetime? What are we doing about all these mortal sins being committed throughout the world? For do we not believe that they crucify and do themselves again the Lord Jesus Christ with every mortal sin that is committed? Some of those people would not commit that mortal sin if we prayed more for them. Did not the Blessed Virgin Mary tell us at Fatima, many souls go to hell because there is no one to pray and sacrifice for them? Which implies, if we did pray and sacrifice more for those souls, at least some of them would not commit sins and go to hell. On that prayer tape, are we not reminded of what the early fathers of the desert said? Remember how they all came together to determine what was the most powerful ejaculation that they could pray? Was it not determined, O God, come to my assistance, O Lord, make haste to help me? Or, O God, come to our assistance, O Lord, make haste to help us? That is the prayer that begins many of the prayers of the Church and the hours of the Divine Office. Deus in adjutorium meum intende, Domine ad adjuvandum me festina. We're also reminded that we gain many indulgences for praying the holy name of Jesus as well as for the holy name of Mary, but the most powerful short indulgence to ejaculation, I believe, is the three names of the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, Joseph, 7 years and seven quarantines. Three words, short and easy to remember, Jesus, Mary, Joseph. We can take that powerful ejaculation, O God, come to our assistance, instead of saying, O Lord, make haste to help me. Why not pray, O God, come to my assistance, Jesus, Mary, Joseph, please make haste to help me. And not only praying, so to speak, for yourself, but, O God, come to our assistance, Jesus, Mary, Joseph, please make haste to help us. We just recently spoke about praying for these 140,000 and more people committing mortal sins every day. There would be less mortal sins committed and less venial sins and less faults if each of us prayed many more times, much more fervently, O God, come to our assistance. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, please make haste to help us. Help us to avoid the occasions of sin. Help us to overcome this temptation. Help us to live in the presence of God. You may not pray 140,000 times each day because of human frailty. O God, come to our assistance. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, please make haste to help us. But if you will put forth even a little effort, you can soon pray at least 1,000 times a day. O God, come to our assistance. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, please make haste to help us. That way you can pray at least 30,000 times a month. O God, come to our assistance. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, please make haste to help us. And obviously then, it must be apparent to all that those prayers certainly will help the holy souls in purgatory. They will help those tempted to commit sins. They will help ourselves to understand the faith, to live it, to accept our crosses joyfully. They will help all those for whom we are bound to pray. Why then do we not say these prayers? Why do we not live in the presence of God? Why do we not use all of God's creation to remind us of our Creator? How else will these 140,000 leaves on the pecan tree help you to increase in grace, overcome temptations, and love God more? You may consider that those leaves are green in color. Green is the color of hope, and then you can begin to pray the act of hope. Hope to obtain grace here and life hereafter. Or you may consider what has been told by Saint Teresa that the souls going to hell are like the leaves falling from the trees in the autumn time. Many souls are going to hell because there is no one to pray and sacrifice for them. And then again you're reminded to pray, O God, come to our assistance. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, please make haste to help us. Or again, maybe you recall to mind the words of Jesus Christ, that all the hairs of your head are numbered, and that not a sparrow falls to the ground without your Father knowing about it. All the leaves in that tree are numbered, and not a single leaf falls to the ground without God knowing about it. Not only does God know when it falls, He knows where it lands, and everything that happens from then on. And this in turn should greatly increase our confidence, our trust, and our love in God. Consider again all of those leaves on that pecan tree in a windstorm. Take the leaf that is the highest up from the ground and the one that is the very closest to the ground. How many inches or centimeters or millimeters apart are the tips of those two leaves? God knows that exactly, does He not? And not only those two leaves, but take the leaf that is the very highest from the ground. God knows exactly, to the very minutest calculation, the distance that that leaf is from every other leaf on that tree. And now you see the wind begin to blow, and that branch, each of the branches in that tree, sway with the wind. Those calculations of the distances between those leaves is changing immensely and so frequently that only God can keep track of those calculations. Does God know them? He certainly does. Not only how far that top leaf is from every leaf on that tree, but also from every leaf of every other tree in the world. Now you consider a supreme being who is all powerful, keep track of such measurements as that, certainly has care of your soul, created to His own image and likeness, destined to be with Him forever in heaven, who arranges everything, when the wind blows, how hard it blows, whether that tree is planted, how long it will grow. And then you may begin to understand how much God cares for you, how much God loves you, and what are you going to do about it? Fall down in thanksgiving. O God, come to my assistance. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, please make haste to help me. Help me to recall these things to mind. Help me to remember to pray these ejaculatory prayers and many other prayers. Help me to live a life of virtue, to overcome temptations, to avoid the occasions of sin, the persons, places, and things that are for me an occasion of sin. Grant me the grace to fulfill the duties in my state of life, to raise my family the way that Thou, O God, dost want me to raise them, to become saints in heaven, not even to go to purgatory, but to pass straight from earth to heaven. When you run out of reflections from that train of thought and cease to be able to pray much more, go back to the leaves. Well, you could take the spelling L-E-A-V-E-S. Take the first letter L in the word leaves. L as in Lord. Then you recall to mind the psalm. The Lord said to my Lord, Set thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Then you recall to mind that Jesus quoted this psalm in refuting the Pharisees when they came against him. And after that, no one durst ask him any more questions. Or you can consider L as in Lady. And can you not then think of many prayers you can pray to Our Lady, the Blessed Virgin Mary? Or you can think of L as in love. And God is love, and he who abideth in love abideth in God, and God in him. Or God is charity, and he who abideth in charity abideth in God, and God in him. We're made to know love and serve God in this world, that we may be with him forever in the next. If you love me, keep my commandments. He that loveth me, he it is that keepeth my commandments. Love one another as I have loved you. And that will remind you once more to pray to the holy souls. Love one another as I have loved you. Pray for the holy souls who need your prayers. Pray for the sinners who need your prayers. Pray for the just who need your prayers to remain faithful to God. Pray for yourself, for your families, for those in the position of being a superior, whether of religious or of the state, of a nation, of a country. Pray, pray, pray. Pray for those who are suffering. Pray for those who are lonely. Pray for those who are tried with temptation severely. Pray for those whom God knows need those prayers. O God, come to our assistance. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, please make haste to help us. Or you may think of L as in long. It's a long time to spend in eternity. In fact, more than a long time, it is forever. A long time to be in heaven or hell. And then again, that should remind you to pray and pray fervently. Or you may think of L as in Lawrence, whose feast day it is today, the feast of St. Lawrence, the martyr on the gridiron. And what a grand lesson he teaches us. Or you may think of L as in life. I have life. I am existing. And then you may wish to recall to mind some of the things explained on this tape of your slim chance of existing, of having life, and then thanking God from the depth of your heart that he created you, brought you into existence, chose you out of such an incalculable number of other possibilities, and God loved you for all of eternity and expects you to be with him for eternity. Or you can think of L as in letter. Then you can think of the letters, the epistles written as recorded in the New Testament. And there's such a huge amount of spiritual food for thought in those epistles. Or think of the letters that you have received, the letters that you have written, that I may have tried to put all of this message in a letter instead of on this tape. You probably never would have received it because I do not write that many letters always. Think that it was because of a letter or several letters from your mother that this tape is being made. One little letter is changing the world. The letter L. Think of L as in light. In the words of Jesus Christ, I am the light of the world. Then can you not ask light, the light of the Holy Ghost, to enlighten you? Ask God that you may be in the eternal light and not in eternal darkness. O God, come to my assistance. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, please make haste to help me. Ask for light for those who do not have the true faith. O God, come to their assistance. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, please make haste to help them. Ask for light for those who need to know what to do in their trial at this time in life. O God, come to our assistance. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, please make haste to help us. There are many other reflections you can have from the letter L, but then go to the second letter in the word leaves, E. E is in eternity, eternal. Obviously, you call to mind the words of St. Augustine, that eternity is the great thought. And then the words of the scriptures, remember thy last end, and thou shalt never sin. And this pecan tree with all of its leaves can remind us of many things about eternity. We mentioned there might be at least 140,000 leaves on a pecan tree. Well, how long is 140,000 million years? Say that instead of all the leaves falling from that tree in one short time in the fall of the year, it was 1 million years between each leaf falling off of that tree. That would be 140 million years. How long is that? We do not understand how to calculate it, but we can comprehend that it does exist. The point made is that you and I and every human being will be in heaven or hell during that time we call eternity. O God, come to our assistance. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, please make haste to help us. Or you may think of E as in Eve, the mother of the human race. Eve gave in to temptation, tempted Adam, and original sin came into this world. The second Eve is our Holy Mother Mary. Now can we not pray from this reflection to our Holy Mother Mary? As the hymn of the church says, Eve is name reversing. Eve spelt backwards, Ave. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. And there are other things to recall to mind from the letter E, but let us go on to the next letter in the word leaves, A. A is an angel. Then we call to mind the holy angel ever at my side, and we pray to our guardian angel to help us, to recall to our mind to say our prayers. O God, come to our assistance. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, please make haste to help us. A is in Adam, the father of the human race, and the second Adam, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Can we not pray prayer now that we called in our daily life Jesus Christ our Savior? A is an always. Again, the thoughts of eternity come before us, the great thought, as St. Augustine calls it. Never, ever, always, and forever. A is an almost. Some souls are almost ready to be delivered from purgatory, All they need are a few more prayers. Will we not assist them? O God, come to our assistance. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, please make haste to help us. Many other thoughts will probably come to your mind from the letter A, but let us go on to the letter V. V as in Virgin. Now again, can we not pray to the Ever Virgin Mary? Pray to the Virgin Saint Joseph. V as in virtue. Do we not understand the virtues that we should practice? Especially the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity, and the cardinal virtues of prudence, justice, temperance, and fortitude. V as in vice, and we call to mind the seven capital sins: pride, covetousness, lust, anger, envy, gluttony, and sloth. If we avoid these seven capital sins, we will practice virtue and go to heaven. Souls are in hell because of these seven capital sins, these vices. Or V as in very, and we can recall to mind that in very truth, there is no salvation outside the Catholic Church. In very truth, those who pray will certainly save their souls. Those who do not pray will certainly lose them. In very truth, where we are able to assist others by our prayers, O God, come to our assistance. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, please make haste to help us. In very truth, we all have a guardian angel, but the very truth of the matter is, so few people reflect upon that truth often enough and pray to their angel to help them. In very truth, I am God's property. He created me. I belong entirely to Him. He may do with me whatever He wills. He can have me to suffer or to be healthy, to be rich or to be poor, to have temptations, for in truth, no temptation is stronger than my ability to resist it. We already spoke about the E. Let us go now to the letter S. S as in saints. Many saints are in heaven because they accepted their cross, because they prayed. For those who pray will certainly save their souls, and those who do not pray will certainly lose them. We will be a saint in heaven forever if we die in the state of sanctifying grace. And the only way to lose sanctifying grace once we receive it is by committing a mortal sin. So what are we going to do to avoid falling into the state of mortal sin? The test for the canonization of saints is given in the book by Father John Kearney, My Spiritual Exercises. It is based principally upon the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity, and the cardinal virtues of prudence, justice, temperance, and fortitude. Remember the great commandment, I was hungry and you gave me to eat, and so on. What you do to the least of my brethren, you do unto me. Or you may think of S as in sacraments, and thank God for the blessing of the seven sacraments He left us with His church. Be grateful for these graces, these great helps to saving our souls. Think of S as in sin. Only dying in the state of mortal sin sends souls to hell. And one venial sin is of such terrible evil that it is better for the whole world to die in extreme suffering than that one willful venial sin be committed. Think of S as in sufferings. God's chosen ones are often made to suffer very much. Suffering can be so sanctifying if we only use it properly. Think of S as in seven. then you may wish to meditate on the seven last words of Jesus Christ as he spoke them from the cross. Think of the seven capital sins, the seven gifts of the Holy Ghost, the seven sorrows of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the seven joys of Mary, the seven theological and cardinal virtues. And again, there are many other reflections we can have from the letter S, but do we not see that all this came from the leaves on the pecan tree? So how can not all of God's creation remind us of our Creator? If we live in the presence of God, we've already obtained half sanctity. If only we would spend our time profitably, live as a just man should live, by faith. And our faith tells us that nothing happens to us without God knowing about it and permitting it, all for the betterment of our sanctification of our souls. Faith tells us that the place we will have for all of eternity is determined by the amount of sanctifying grace in our soul the moment that we die. Faith tells us that we increase in grace by prayer, alms deeds, and good works after receiving the sacraments. Faith tells us that many souls die today. Some went to hell because we did not pray and sacrifice more than we did for their eternal salvation. Faith tells us that one day we are going to die and face our judge and be asked why we did not do the things that we should have done during our lifetime. Our faith tells us that all of the things spoken about in this tape could, in one way or many ways, remind us again of our Creator, remind us of the need to pray, O God, come to our assistance. Jesus, Mary, and St. Joseph, please make haste to help us. Basically, remind us of the presence of God. For example, we spoke about the fig tree. We recall to mind how Adam and Eve wove the fig leaves into garments after the fall. Pomegranates were spoken about, and then we remember what was said in the Old Testament about the pomegranate. Fishes were spoken about, and from that we can recall very many things to uplift our mind, heart, and soul to God. That Jesus Christ fed the multitude, once 5,000, and at another time 4,000, with just those few loaves and a few little fishes. How the apostles became fishers of men. How the apostles were chosen from being fishers at the time. Again, the obedience of the reward of casting their net one more time to catch the great draught of fishes. How Jesus had the fishes being cooked for the last time he ate with his apostles before ascending into heaven. Many of the things about the fish will uplift our mind, heart, and soul to God. Wheat was spoken about, and we recall to mind the gospel read on this feast for today of St. Lawrence. Unless the grain of wheat fall into the ground, itself remaineth alone. And that gospel is read several times throughout the year, and what it should mean to us. Again, the many things about the harvest is great, and the laborers are few. The need to pray for the salvation of souls, the spread of the true faith, the work of the missions, the wheat that goes into making up the host for the holy sacrifice of the Mass, and all that the Mass should mean to us and to the whole world, to the souls in purgatory, and what tremendous amount of angels are present whenever Mass is being offered up validly and licitly. And many other things were covered, and not only them, but as has been mentioned several times already, everything in creation can remind us and should remind us of our Creator. to bring back home that first truth of all truths, God. God is the Creator. I am His creature. I belong to Him. He may do with me whatever He wills. As you can read in the paper I hopefully will send along about the book, God can make us any size, any color. We have nothing to say what nationality we are, nor whether we will be tall or short, fat or thin, basically speaking, what color our eyes may be, what color our hair may be. God chose that one seed among thousands upon thousands, that one that was me with all my human characteristics. One thing we do know, I am destined to be with God forever. But being God's creature, He may do with me whatever He wills. Sometimes when we have to suffer, such as a back injury, we may not at first understand why all this pain, all this suffering. But God has His reasons. If I had not known you had a back injury, I may not even have made this tape, for your mother may have never sent me your address. And if I had not had a back injury, I may have not taken time to make this tape. God has His reasons for having us laid up, so to speak. Now consider what one tape may do for the salvation of souls. Consider the books read onto cassette tapes for Holy Family recordings. One tape heard by a little boy made him say to his grandmother, "Why don't we say some prayers?" The grandmother said, "All right, but what made you say that?" The little boy replied, "It says on that tape," meaning the tape, "Prayer, the great means of grace. If we do not pray, we will not save our souls." Do we not see what a great influence one tape can have on this little boy for a lifetime? One book, as you recall to mind, converted St. Ignatius of Loyola. A man was injured, and while he recovered, he read a few good books. Then he went to the Shrine of Our Lady, eventually founded the Society of Jesus, and think of the thousands of masses that have been offered by the Jesuit priests, the thousands of martyrs, the great multitude of Indians even converted in North America, the great number of seminarians trained in the Jesuit seminaries throughout the years, and so much in the good work done by the books they have read and written and so on. So again, someday maybe you could record books for Holy Family recordings, if it be God's divine providence that you do so. Think of what that could mean. You take a few days or whatever it means to record a book. Someone hears it. They're greatly inspired to cease committing sin, to live a life of holiness. And they in turn will influence others. And they in turn will help others. And so hundreds or thousands of souls are saved because you've had your back injured, just as hundreds of thousands of souls have increased in sanctifying grace because St. Ignatius of Loyola was at one time injured in recuperating. At least you have this valuable time to pray, and many souls will be saved if we pray fervently for them, as Our Lady of Fatima told us. God bless you, and may Jesus, Mary, and St. Joseph grant you every grace you need to live in complete uniformity with God's most holy will. Ora pro nobis. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.